Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
As we continue rebuilding for the next generation, very imperative that we do this. We're going through the book of Nehemiah, and today's message is this: the destruction requires your diligent rebuilding of the walls. The destruction requires your personally, your online, in-house, your diligent rebuilding of the walls. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17 to 18. Let me pick it up from where we left off. And then I said to them, "You see the trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates have been burnt with fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, and we will no longer be in disgrace." I also told them about the gracious hand of my God on me and what the king had said to me. They replied, "Let us start rebuilding." So they began this good work. This morning, my message comes from Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. Nehemiah chapter 2 set the tone for us to know what we're talking about. Now, here's Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 1 to 12. And God does not allow anything to be written in the Bible that doesn't have an important aspect to it. Everything has an important aspect that is in the Word of God. Nehemiah chapter 3. Then Eliashib, the high priest, and the other priests started to rebuild at the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set up its doors, building the wall as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and the Tower of Hananel. People from the town of Jericho worked next to them, and beyond them was Zaccur, son of Imri. Everything has a perspective. Verse 3, the fish gate was built by the sons of Hasaniah. They laid the beams, set up the doors, installed the bolts and the bars. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the grandson of Hasgoth, repaired the next section of the wall. Beside him were Meshulam, son of Berechiah, the grandson of Mezabebel, I'll call them all out, and then Zadok, the son of Baniah. Next were the people of Tekoa, though their leaders refused to work with the construction supervisors. The old city gate was repaired by Jodiah, son of Pesiah, and Meshulam, son of Besodeah, and they laid the beam, set up its doors, and installed its bolts and bars. Next to them were Melatiah from Gibeon, very important, Jadon from Meronoth, the people from Gibeon, and the people from Mizpah, the headquarters of the governor of the province west of the Euphrates River. Next was Uziel, the son of Hariah, the goldsmith by trade, who also worked on the wall. Beyond him was Hananiah, the manufacturer of perfumes. They left out a section of the Jerusalem wall. As they built the broad wall. Rephaiah, son of Hur, the leader of the half district of Jerusalem, was next to them on the wall. Then Jediah, son of Harumath, repaired the wall across from his own house. And next to him was Hattush, son of Hashabaneah. Thank God for new names today, David, Sam, and John. Then came Malijah, son of Haram, and Hashub, son of Pahath Moab, who repaired another section of the wall and the Tower of the Ovens. Shalom, son of Haloshe, and his daughters repaired the next section. He was the leader of the other half of the district of Jerusalem. Interesting. Let me pause for a moment. Father, let your word speak volumes. I don't have this in my message, but I'll tell you. Earlier you read where one guy only did half the wall, but this other man, Shalom, son of Haloshesh, took his daughters and said, "Let's repair the rest." That's a whole message. I'll preach that one day. But everything in these passages is so pivotal. And this is a two-part. Today we're talking about the walls. Next week we'll talk about the gates. The ruined walls in our day is what we want to focus on. The ruined walls in our day. Nehemiah lists the problems of his nation at that time. The ruined walls and the destroyed gates. Folks, when spiritual strength is gone from a nation, national pride also goes right behind it. When spiritual strength is gone from a nation, national pride also leaves the nation. And in the nations where people truly honor God, the people show a thankfulness for their blessing. And when they show a thankfulness for their blessing, they also honor their nation. It is a proven fact worldwide where people who see God's provision and God's protection and God's peace in their lives, they will honor not only God, but they will honor their nation in every way. When a nation begins to be destroyed, it is because the nation has already moved away from God, and you begin to see the effects of the evil powers and principalities that rule and the people catering to it, and so there is a lostness. When the nation has lost its godliness, it also loses its national pride. I want that to go out. Would you send that? Would you all just, I see cameras all the time. This is when you take this one. When a nation loses its godliness, it also loses its national pride. And the nation of Israel fell into deep distress when they ignored God. They began to worship all types of false gods of the land, which naturally caused the kings of the many different nations to oppress them and ultimately conquer them. And then naturally, they placated themselves to these gods, and these gods stripped them of their strength. Can I tell you today, the gods they bow to are different than what we bow to, but it's still gods. We bow to many gods that we've created in our society. When we placate ourselves, our time, our energy, our finances, our resources, our family, when we placate to these demigods, these secular gods, we then strip ourselves of the strength that will cause us to be a people of God and bring the power of God at work in the lives of many. But God, God who is so rich in mercy and forgiveness, he saw the pain of Israel's plight, and he sent one who would lift them up out of it, who would encourage them and remind them that God is still in control. So Nehemiah's response when God called him, when he's in the midst of the palace, of the king's palace, God called him, and he responded much like Isaiah. Isaiah in Isaiah 6 verse 8, he says, "Then I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? And who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here I am, send me." Nehemiah did the same thing. When they showed up and said, we are in distress and ruin, he said, "I will go." God will always use the most unusual people, and perhaps you are that person. Come on now. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to the king, but now he had to take on a new role, one that he obviously had never embarked on before. It would stretch him completely. As Christians, we should be open to be stretched by God. That is why it's so important to be filled with the Spirit, because then we're not afraid to be stretched. And so this would stretch him. Why? He was a wine tester. He was a wine taster. He studied what is called a sommelier. He was a sommelier. It means that he was not a construction worker. His study was totally in something else. He was outside of his comfort zone because Nehemiah was just a wine taster. His education and grooming would have been like this. He had to develop his palate to taste wines and figure out which wines goes with which meats and which cheeses. By the way, alcoholism destroys our nation, because those nations where they are very strong about drinking wine, it's a culinary experience. You know, you go red with meats and white with a fish. But here, most people who want to drink in North America, they want to take the edge off their pain rather than going to God. So they're drinking to numb a pain. They're not using, it's not a culinary experience. Don't go running saying, "I'm going to make it culinary now." Not a part of your. But he had to become educated in learning the differences. He had to have an experience of how to serve and be a butler to the king. He had to know when the wine tasting changed, when the new wines were developed, he had to know the very minute change and difference, because if not, someone could put poison in one of the wines and the king would be dead. So that is what made him such an expert and such a powerful man before the king. He had to know the nuances of change. And so God now is looking for someone who in their own right would understand the nuances of change in our society, so many are not destroyed. Nehemiah, he would have been a millennial age, 20 north, 40 south. That's why I'm so adamant to see this group become strong and become a vibrant part of the church, which many worldwide, they've been walking away. You come back in because there's a work for you to do today. And so here he was at that age, but he had to be ready to trust God to teach him what he needed to know. We've been trusting education to take us everywhere. The greatest educator is the Lord God himself. The good news is, because Jesus Christ has blessed us with the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, we are taught by the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not through how much education I have. It's through Christ who gives me wisdom and authority and power and knowledge and understanding, even as we went through Proverbs. I want to enforce today again the Holy Spirit seminar. It is imperative. Because we are now living in a day where people are just glossing through life and every wind comes, takes them out, because you do not understand. We sang it, I have an authority. I have a confidence. You know what? People are lacking confidence in Christ, confidence in the Holy Ghost. Even as we're teaching, we're going through a book and we're studying together. Why are we doing it? Because we have got to grow in the word and in the knowledge and understanding of the Lord, but we must grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, or else every other religion will wipe us out. And we're beginning to see churches close while other religions are increasing in thousands. Why? Because many Christians refuse to learn, refuse to grow, and refuse to be empowered by the Spirit. And that I'm rebuking today in Jesus' name. Amen. Online, take it as a rebuke. God bless you. God knows what we need. The enemy is very angry because his time is coming to an end. Can you understand, folks? The devil's time. Don't you see the signs of the times? You see earthquakes in diverse places and floods and pestilence and tornadoes coming after earthquakes and wars and rumors of war. What more do we need to see? The coming of the Son of Man is at hand. The enemy is getting vigilant and the church is getting sloppy. The world is in chaos and the church is in comfort. I'm going to have to preach that one soon because it's a word in my spirit very strongly these days. The world is in chaos. The church is in comfort. Oh, God, forgive us, because we've got to rebuild quickly. And I want to share with you this morning, God knows your name and he knows your abilities. Nehemiah chapter 3, it lists a whole ton of names as he began to rebuild. And what happened? Nehemiah saw, he heard. First, he heard, just as you're hearing the message today, the place is in ruins. The nation is in ruins. When he heard it, he accepted something is wrong. Then he went and he saw it for himself. If we don't want to hear it, we will never see it. It's got to be both. We got to use our visual and use our audible to know something is wrong. The nation is in destruction. And when we step up, guess what, folks? Other people will step up. Once you step up, other people will step up. As I think through the many people I've seen come through ministry or released in their gifting, because when I stepped up, everybody that I know, I pushed them to step up. And that's what our job is. Make sure people step up. Because sometimes God will use you to stir others. God will use you to stir others to fulfill their destiny. Did you know that? God could just use you if you show up. Chapter 3 begins with this man named Eliashib. Eliashib is a derivative of the name Elisha, which means God is salvation. And so Eliashib, living out his destiny and his name, he began the work. And when he began the work, many stepped up. The Bible says in Romans 1, verse 11 to 12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some of the spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Do you know that we mutually encourage each other? Online, do you know why we come to church and they're like, oh, I don't want to go. Since COVID, I don't go. We mutually encourage each other. It's not just you receiving encouragement through the online. You need to show up and encourage someone else because we must mutually encourage each other. My word to you today is just show up. Show up. Tell somebody this morning. And online, tell somebody online, hey, I'm off today, but you need to show up. Tell somebody right now, just show up. So the Bible tells us when Eliashib showed up, when Nehemiah showed up, Eliashib showed up. When Eliashib showed up, it began to list names like crazy started to show up because no one person can accomplish what God wants. And so when Eliashib showed up, it says this, other people jumped in. People from the town of Jericho worked next to them. So Jericho showed up to Jerusalem. Did you hear me? And beyond them was Zaccur, son of Imri. When you begin to read these names, and it would take a whole message to preach the names, never gloss over names in the Bible. They're of importance. When you begin to see where Imri is from. And then verse 7, I'm just going to skip through a few. Verse 7, the people from Gibeon and the people from Mizpah. And that showed up. Mizpah was the headquarters. Remember, there were altars by Mizpah. This is where Jonathan fought the battle at Mizpah. So those people are remembering the God who fought our battles. We're going to show up and help his people in Jerusalem rebuild. Do you remember who the Gibeonites are? Joshua chapter 9, they showed up and deceived Israel, and Israel made them slaves. But when Israel was broken down, Gibeon showed up. You have no idea how God's going to use you if you would just show up. I love this one, verse 8. Uzziel, son of Harijah, a goldsmith by trade, who also worked on the wall. A goldsmith? A goldsmith only knows how to melt the gold and dig the gold, mine the gold, melt the gold, and make things of gold for the king and for others who would buy gold. But he's like, listen, the walls are broken down. Even if I have gold, they're going to steal everything from me. Let's get together and build the wall. Uzziel of beyond him was Hananiah, a manufacturer of perfumes. Mr. Perfume Guy showed up. He's like, you know what? I don't want everybody to show up and steal my perfume off my little cart. So let's build the wall. When you take your place, others will join in. That's the problem of the church. We're always looking for somebody else. You show up. Oh, but I'm a goldsmith. Stay there. Because when the devil begins to strip society down to nothing, you and your gold are going to be the first to be stolen. Hello, somebody. Talk to me online. Talk to me. You are called to rebuild the walls, and everyone has a capacity to contribute to rebuild for our nation and our society and our church. Every person with breath in their lungs is called to rebuild. If you've got a sound mind, you're called to rebuild because there's a lot of people no longer with a sound mind. We're gifted differently. We're gifted differently, but we all contribute as a fragment to the whole. Whatever your little is, you bring it, and little is much when God is in it. The job of building or rebuilding is accomplished best when everyone does a small part. Show up or step up. Everyone does a part. It is our national duty to protect our nation, and it's a part of our civic duty to protect the society we live in. It's a part of our spiritual duty to protect the church. It's a part of our duty to see stability in not only our homes, but the homes around us. So let me put this up online. The walls of our nation, our society, our church, and our homes are in ruins. Is it not? The walls are in ruins. First of all, notice this. Nehemiah did not work on the foundation of Jerusalem because the foundation was still intact. See, they still believed in Jehovah God. They still believed Jehovah was their God. They still knew they were Jewish people, people of God, just like many today. Our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. And many Christians still remember. You hear them, even movie stars, oh, I believe in God. I want to thank God. The foundation is still intact. But can I tell you what's broken down? The walls. And when the walls begin to crumble, it won't take long before the foundation will be fractured. People are saying, oh, I still believe in God. I just don't practice. I still believe in God, I just don't obey. I still believe in God, I just don't worship. Have you heard it? Don't you know many people will tell you how much they believe in God, but they have nothing to do with God? That's the walls that are gone. Our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, but the walls of our faith are the Ten Commandments. So people believe in the foundation. I've got a firm foundation. Oh, yes, I believe God is God. But they don't believe in the word of God. They don't believe in the commands of God. The walls of our faith is our Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. What has society done? Hello? You shall not make any idols. What have we done? What have we done? You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The Sabbath is the day we worship. It's the day we set apart. I don't even believe in Sabbath. I don't even think you guys got it right. Whether we have it right or not, we got together. God has made that this is our Sabbath. Honor your mother and your father. Oh, there's a generation that it's become acceptable that they don't have to respect parents. Talk to me, folks. Those are the walls. When kids no longer respect parents, the walls are broken. Oh, I don't even bring them to church because they don't want to come. The wall's broken. Rebuild it. You shall not murder. That's all we're seeing in our GTA. You shall not commit adultery. Oh, it's just extra stuff, extramarital. There's nothing extra about adultery. It's just sin. You shall not steal. Oh, I'm not stealing. I'm just segueing. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Do you know what the world is built on right now? Covetousness. This one has this, the crib, and this one has this, and look how much money they have. And we're watching many Christians. They say they love God, but they'll never show up and worship God. They'll never give unto the work of the Lord because they're busy building their own empire so they can have an empire like others. Have you not noticed all those empires are falling? What have we allowed to happen to our walls? Walls are imperative to a nation, a society, a church, and our homes. Walls protect us from predators. Walls provide security. Walls represent a shelter, a place of shelter. Walls guard what's important. Walls form a sense of belonging. As I was just in Peru and Colombia, I want to tell you, they have, because I wasn't feeling so well, I didn't take the pictures I want. I think you've got some pictures there. But you see, every place has walls, even the churches. Do you know why? Because if you don't have walls, you're a prey. Every place, that's a government building. What do you see there? You can't even see the first floor, because if you don't have walls, you don't have any protection. You had to guard what's important. And so every place you look, there's so many pictures I could have shown you, but I didn't get a chance to take them. Walls give you a place of shelter, a protection from predator, a security. It guards what's important. And when you want to reclaim the identity of your people, you've got to have walls. Nehemiah realized, they still believe in God, but all the walls have been broken down. The first thing he said is, let's rebuild the wall. Let's repair the walls. Don't you see everything's broken down in society, church? Can't you see? Destruction has occurred, and it requires our diligence to rebuild the walls. Let me take it home today. Let me take it in. We've come to the place, there was a time we would see things on TV, on television, and we would say, oh, that's so wretched. But years later, what happened? Years, talk to me, what happened? It's normalized. And we, believers, accept it. There are times growing up, we will always talk about Halloween being a time when people are worshiping satanic forces and demonic expression. But then television began having shows that had to do with demons and some of you could throw it out at me, all the stuff on there. You know me, I only watch my Korean movies. When I want to be brainless, I just do news or Korean movies. That's my two things. You too? Yes, come on, give me. Folks, what's on television now for the kids? Even the cartoons are demonic. Come talk to me, church. Talk to me online. Stop pretending you don't know. If you don't know, you got to find out. Ask your grandchildren. Everything has a subtle demonic force to it now. Because over the years, we allowed it to happen. We kept chipping away at the walls of our society. And we allow these things and we normalize it. Now, and I'm going to declare it today. Every street you go on, what do they have now? Dollar store selling every Halloween thing too cheap. And so now everybody's got the big demons. They've got the graveyards. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Those that are outside of North America, North Americans are bringing it to your country. Reject it. It is a demonic force. It's stripping away the strength of our children. I saw on the news the other day, this is what they're glamorizing. A father was showing his daughter, who's now decorating their yard for Halloween, and he said, it is our favorite time of the year. And he says, my daughter has started a campaign for everyone to dress up their homes for Halloween. What are they dressing it with? Demons, darkness, graveyard, devils, all kinds of sickness. Dark powers of an evil world. What do we have happening today? How many kids are already suicidal? And you're going to decorate your home and your yard and everything with demonic force. And as Christians, we walk by it and go, oh, that's just them. I don't walk by it and go, just them. I walk by it, I dash oil in Jesus' name. This darkness has got to get off my street, got to get out of my... We cannot accept these things and say it's normal. The more it increases, the more we strip the wall down, more suicides, more mental depression, more people having issues, more kids that can't sleep, and we're saying this is normal. It is not normal. It is a sickness. The walls are down. So today, we have so many vigilant predators, and let me ask you a question. Are you diligently repairing the damaged walls of our society? Are you diligently repairing the damaged walls of our society? Because if the Church of Jesus Christ accepts it, it becomes normalized. In your spirit, no, it's wrong. This dark power, it's going to keep coming. It's going to keep coming, but we're going to keep blocking. And if you, let me speak to the young parents. Oh, they do it at school. So I have to be a part of it? No, you don't. You don't want your children to feel left out, but do something in the reverse. Yeah, the school says you got to dress them up. Okay, that's up to you what you're going to do. But don't put them in demons and devils and darkness. Put them where they're light. Switch it up. Whoever said that? Thank you. Switch it up, because we still have to make a statement of who we believe in. The walls are destroyed. Nehemiah stepped up. What happened? When one man showed up, all the others who had a voice began to show up. The perfumer says, I don't want to sell perfume if the walls are down. I want us all to be protected. The goldsmith said, you know what? Let's do this together. The man with his daughter says, listen, this half of the wall is down. Let's take it, because we're all in a different space and a different place. If you protect your side, all of us will have our sides covered. This is our society. This is our culture. This is our nation. And we are a people of God. The foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ, but the walls is what we do. No other God, no idols. People are idolizing evil, and the church is going, oh, pastor, can you preach me something, make me happy? I just made you happy. I preach the truth. So I got a couple of questions for you. Have the walls of protection and preservation around your home been compromised? Online, I've got a question for you. There's so many predators. There's predators online. There's predators in our schools. There's predators around our society. There's predators everywhere. And I want you to know, we want you to know, you've got to be vigilant. Are you quietly allowing the walls of our society to be destroyed by outside agitators, people who've already rejected God? Are you allowing it? Because you see, you could say, well, I have no kids. I have no kids myself. But every time I drive by a school, I pray. I have no kids, but when I see them at the stop sign, when I see them at the bus stop, when I see them walking for lunch in their throngs, a throng of them or a group of them, I pray, I whisper something, I see them. And even if I don't pray in that moment, I don't choose to ignore them. I choose to see them. That's how you get the walls rebuilt. You got to see where it's broken. When you see the girls that are half naked and they're standing in the bus shelter, and the boys are in jackets and big pants, and the girls are naked. You realize their society has reshaped them. And it's not left up to you to stop your car and go over and tell them, put on clothes. It's left up to you to say, God, they don't know better. But oh God, I pray that you would speak to them. It's to imagine if we started seeing rather than just judging. Can you imagine if we started feeling rather than just ignoring? We can rebuild the walls in so many different ways. Are you open to it? Do you care? Do you really care about the destroyed walls of our nation? Do you really care? Because if we care, we can't just say, well, I went to church, I did my Sunday morning thing, everything's good, I'm fine, my family's fine. Your family's only fine for a time. Because as the nation crumbles, so does the structure, the foundation, the fiber, everything. So we are responsible. Nehemiah was not even living there, he was living in Persia. But when he heard, he said, this is not of God. When he saw, he said, you know what? I might be a wine taster, but today I've got to be a rebuilder. And as he started, people came. When you read through chapter 1 to 12, go read it again. It's going to make more sense. I can't preach all of it. You begin to read those names, you'll see they showed up from everywhere. There are people all across the nation of Canada that are feeling the same thing we're feeling, but we're starting to make ourselves the minority rather than the majority. Let me say that again. There are people all across Canada. There are people around the world that are praying for Canada. Where I just came from in Peru, up in the mountains of Tingo Maria, a church of 2,800 or so, three or four services going one after the other, going into the jungle, right up into the Amazon to reach people. But they're praying for North America. because they see when North America is destroyed, their nations get the residue of it. There are people all across Africa that are praying and preparing missionaries to come to the nation that sent missionaries to them, because our walls are broken. And that's what Nehemiah had. They showed up from everywhere and said, let's rebuild together. All I'm asking today, would you get a spiritual attunity to the Holy Spirit, where you say, God, I can't just pretend I'm not seeing it or it doesn't affect me. Because as the society is destroyed, so my life is compromised and destroyed. We are all a part of this, no matter what level we're at or how long we've been saved. You can be saved for a day. You have a responsibility. So my question is, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's my question today. What are you doing? Have you accepted it? This is norm. We can't do anything about it, Pastor. The government's made laws. Governments are people. Do you know that they're people? That God said we're okay. We honor them and we pray for them. Let me tell you something, folks. You pray for them in two ways. You pray for them in two ways. Are you hearing me? Government, we pray for you in two ways. God, bless them to rule our nation in righteousness. God, remove them when they begin to destroy everything. Right now, we need to be praying for our nation. Because I'm going to tell you, we don't know whether to go to the right or to the left, to the center, to up, to down. So God, are you going to remove all of them? Well, if you have to. But we don't just get to sit back and go, we can't do anything about it. We all can do something. Are you praying for your nation? Are you praying for your society? Are you praying for the culture? Are you praying for your homes? Are you praying for your street? Are your eyes open? Are you remembering that the first wall in our life is salvation? Let me just speak to those online and in-house right now. Have you established the first wall in your life? And that's acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ. What has society rejected? The wall of protection, Christ Jesus. The wall of deliverance, Christ Jesus. The wall of healing, Christ Jesus. The wall that sets us free, Christ Jesus. What has society destroyed? And what are they trying to subtly destroy to get us to stop believing that Jesus Christ is the great high priest, the wall that protects us? If you've not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you need to build the first wall, or you cannot help build any of the walls. In the name of Jesus, would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that you did not abandon us the same way we have abandoned you. This nation of Canada was built on the name of the Lord God Almighty, Jehovah. Now everything's been stripped, and every society is trying to remove the name of God and replace other gods as God. But we, your people, we know who you are. We know what you will do. We know you're coming again. And we know that we have to worship you in the beauty of holiness and serve you as we follow the commands given by our God. So Father, today, God, would you cause there to be a brokenness in heart, a brokenness of spirit, a brokenness in lives. God, we all need to step up more. And we all have a place in the kingdom and a place in society. We all have a voice, oh God, that you've given us. And we all, oh God, can be heard in prayer if we choose to pray wisely. So Father, today, oh God, we come before you and ask you, God, to forgive us for how we've allowed every wall of our nation to be broken and we've accepted it. We declare today we will not accept it. We will only accept the word of God over this nation. And so, Father, guide us and keep us. Now, Lord God, I pray for the ones who have not yet given their heart to the Lord. That's the wall they must build to protect their lives from the enemy. So, God, we plead We plead to them today, acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and He will deliver you from all evil. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.